This is On the Other Hand. A podcast sponsored by Braver Angels in Arkansas that explores politics and other issues of importance to Arkansans through conversations with community leaders. Stay with us as we talk to another leader in Arkansas who works across differences to get things done and to bring us closer together. Hello and welcome to On the Other Hand. I'm your host, Glenn White, here with my co-host, April Chatham Carpenter. On our podcast, April and I interview community leaders in Arkansas who in some way help work towards solutions across various political or other divides, or who in other ways reach across various divisions within our community. So April, tell us a bit about our listener that we're going to be talking with today.
Oh, Glenn, well, I'm thrilled today with who we have as our guest. It's Rex Nelson. Many people are going to know that name. Rex, among other things, was certainly a key figure for policy and communications in politics in the past, in Governor Mike Huckabee's administration. And currently, Rex is a sports broadcaster, so you might actually hear his voice for Ouachita Baptist University. He's also a regular contributor of columns to the Arkansas Democrat Gazette, many of them about Arkansas history and culture. And I really like his own podcast, the Southern Fried Podcast, so you should check it out sometime. Welcome to On the Other Hand, Rex.
Thank you. It's great to be here. I really appreciate you having me today.
Well, let's start by having you just tell a little bit about yourself and how you got to this point in your career.
I'm a native of Arkansas. I grew up in Arkadelphia. In fact, I was there from birth all the way through college, a graduate of Ouachita Baptist University. And I have loved journalism from when I was a young child. I actually collected newspapers as a child. I remember my father saying, why can't you collect coins or stamps like the other kids? They take up a lot less room, and yet the attic of my parents' house was probably the biggest fire trap in South Arkansas. There was nothing I loved better than racing out into the driveway early each morning to grab the Arkansas Gazette and read it from a very young age. So I began working at the weekly paper there in my hometown in high school. We also had a daily paper at the time. I moved to the daily in college as a sports editor. I went to Little Rock to work as a sports writer for the Arkansas Democrat out of college, but then went back to Arkadelphia as the editor of the Daily Siftings Herald, where I was the youngest daily newspaper editor in the state at age 23. So that's kind of how I got my start in the business, if you will.
Yeah, and the rest is history, right? I'm curious. I think about people who might be listening to this. There might even be some young journalists. How do you get your topics, or when you're getting ready to write an article, how do you come up with topics or areas to write about?
Well, I have no problem at all, because I have this great job where the publisher allows me to write about whatever I want to write about. I don't write about national issues. I don't write about national politics only as they affect Arkansas. I mean, there's enough of that. Been there, done that, lived in Washington in the 1980s, covered Congress then. So the one thing that ties all of my columns together is Arkansas. And so it might be about food one day, it might be about music the next day, it might be about sports the next day. But really, I try to, for lack of a better term, shed a light on the Arkansas culture, the things that make us unique. I write about economic development. I will write some about politics. Arkansas is the one thread that runs through those three columns a week. And I don't write about national or international issues. But other than that, when it comes to Arkansas, I have a wide open book on what I can write about, which is great.
All right. Well, I think that's awesome. Are you writing every day, basically, when you try to get the columns out like that?
I write three columns a week. I don't write breaking news, so I'm generally a week or two ahead. That's less stressful that way. But three columns a week. So, other time is spent out in the state traveling. I don't do what I call an ivory tower column. Nothing wrong with those, but an ivory tower column in my mind is when somebody sits in the office and pontificates on the issues of the day. I do what I call a reported column. So I'm literally in all 75 counties of the state. I stay on the road a lot. So I'll be on the road 2 or 3 days a week generally, and in the office writing another couple of days a week.
Allows you to meet lots of interesting people.
Rex, let me ask you this. You know, this is a kind of a standard question in our podcast because Braver Angels focuses on politics and trying to reduce political polarization, getting people talking about it. One of the things we ask is for people to kind of let us know where they're standing politically. So for you, what are your political leanings? I think we have a lot of evidence of that, but I'd let you speak for yourself. And we talk about in terms of red and blue, with red representing kind of the conservative or Republican side and blue, the liberal or Democratic side. Kind of what hue are you color-wise? How would you?
I'm a steady purple. I consider myself probably, if anything, a center-right independent. I think one of the real diseases in this country right now is trying to put people red or blue. I think humans are far more complex than that, and we try to stereotype people. So I'm a raging moderate, if anything, Glenn.
Okay, good to know. We get a lot of that, actually. We have a lot of blowback when we ask people to say red or blue. I usually tell them, well, think about red and blue and purple and all the other shades in between. If you had to draw a line right there at 50%, right smack dab in the middle, which side would you be on? And you could be barely over the middle, or you could be way on either extreme.
Yeah,
so
well,
I appreciate that.
The last three presidential elections, I voted Republican in one, Democratic in one, and Libertarian in one. So you can try to figure me out from that.
You are all over the map, no kidding. So here's the other question. When we understand where you're coming from politically, we like to know what got you there. What are the life experiences that led you to that way of looking at things politically? What values do you have that feed into that view?
You know, when I was a child, I really, like I said, I was into the news, and I was into Arkansas politics. And the first politician as a child that really caught my attention was Winthrop Rockefeller, who remains the most intriguing figure of 20th century Arkansas to me, because that's a whole nother podcast. But Rockefeller basically saved us as a state while we were saving him as an individual. So it makes for a wonderful story. So, you know, I probably leaned as a young man toward the Republican Party more just because I saw the need for a two-party system in Arkansas. Democrats had been dominant in this state for 130 years. I don't think that was healthy. I don't think one-party governance is healthy. And frankly, if I were 20 years old now, I'd probably be beating on the door of the Democratic Party of Arkansas offices wanting to help, because we need a two-party system and we need two-party governance in Arkansas. We didn't have it for 130 years, and then we've had the transformation to the Republican side, and we don't have it now. And I think that's a very unhealthy thing.
Yeah, it's interesting you've mentioned that, because, as you point out, for a long time, Arkansas had the history of being strongly Democratic with not much room for Republican politics, and now it seems it's just the opposite.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you've been active a long time. You've, in most circles, I think people consider you a conservative. You've certainly been involved in Republican politics and government. But I know that some of your writings in the last, a few years, you've taken a pretty active, overt stand against some of the things happening in the state with some of the Republican politicians and where they stand. So what do you think is going on, both in Arkansas and nationally? You've got these, in particular, the fact that what I think many people used to think of as conservative no longer seem to be showing up as regularly in Republican politics.
Absolutely. I certainly consider myself a fiscal conservative. Maybe I am truly the last of the Rockefeller Republicans, but I think those who have studied American political history, those who know political science, will be quick to tell you in a classical sense, this new breed that runs on the Republican label but are basically Trumpists, they are neither conservative nor truly Republican in that sense, and that's been some of my problem. I mean, as we tape this, the front page story in the Arkansas Democrat Gazette is about a $19,000 podium in the governor's office. There's nothing fiscally conservative about that. So in my mind, this new breed that we have seen, I consider them neither conservative nor classically Republican at all.
That's interesting, and that might be a whole nother podcast that we could talk about what it means to be a conservative.
Yes.
I'm really interested, you know, in your past and the history of, you know, going across Arkansas, meeting so many people, how you go about bridging gaps when someone differs from you. Because we feature conversations on this podcast with community leaders who try to reach across various divides, and since you've had the chance to work with people who differ from you politically, how do you manage that? And, you know, I'd love to hear a story or two about how you've done that.
Probably the main way I manage it is I tend not to talk politics. Like I said, I spent so much of my life in that, it's not really important to me. And I think that is one of the real problems in this country right now, is we've become so hyper-politicized. I mean, people spend 4 hours a night watching what I call scream shows on cable news networks, where in the past they were out working in the garden or reading a book or listening to music, and I want to scream, for God's sakes, get a life. You know, we have become so over-politicized in our country. So unless somebody brings it up, when I'm traveling the state, I'm generally talking about economic development. I'm talking about good places to go eat. I'm talking about the Friday night high school football scores from the previous Friday night. Those tend to be the conversations I have in the state, not political conversations, unless I'm asked.
So do people ever try to bait you into a political argument?
Oh, I'm sure, but life's too short. I mean, I get paid for stating my opinion, so why would I give it to them for free? I don't say that to sound elitist. It just I think arguing politics with somebody else is a total waste of time in my mind.
Yeah, so really focusing
on, you're not going to change anybody's mind.
No, that's very true, and it sounds like really focusing on the humanity of the people around you and the local level issues that are interesting to them.
Yeah, I mean, all politics is local was the old saying, and that's what we've got to get back to. You know, I can't do a lot about what happens in Washington. Let's be honest. I mean, I go vote. I'm a good voter. But Arkansas, for the foreseeable future, is going to cast its 6 electoral votes for the Republican nominee. So my vote in that sense really doesn't matter on a national basis. But you know, if I get active in the activities of the county quorum court or the city council or the school board, that's where I can really make a difference. And that's what I wish Arkansans would get back to, is quit worrying about national politics, which they really don't have much control over, and let's make sure we have the best and brightest people in our state on those city councils, on those quorum courts, on those school boards, and in our legislature. And if we would do that, I think that's when we could really get back to advancing our state and let Washington be Washington.
I'm curious, even at those levels, though, there can be these real you know, disputes. I think about the school boards just as an example of this, in which you know, there's discussions about how do we teach race in the public schools, for example, and how parents and educators sometimes seem to be at odds, or the belief is that they're at odds, and that can cause, you know, disagreements even at that level.
Oh, I agree. And getting back to that, why we need to put a focus on that is I think too many good, you know, salt of the earth Arkansans, as I would describe them, who tend to be practical, moderate people. What we've done is we thought, well, politics is so dirty and nasty, we're just going to sit on the sideline. And that's what's happened across the country, but certainly in our state. Too many good people have been on the sideline, And now that allows fringe characters to be elected to these offices. And used to be, you know, you could go into any small town in Arkansas, and I still do that a lot in my job. You know, you could go to the coffee shop and, you know, somebody, there would be old Joe back there at the coffee table where everybody's drinking coffee in the morning, and he's spouting off loud, and he writes a letter to the editor. We all know the type. Writes a letter to the editor of the paper every week, and they say, ah, it's just old Joe popping off. He can't do much damage. Well, now old Joe is in the legislature or on the school board, and he can do damage now. And I think that has come about because too many of us have sat on the sidelines. So if we're not going to run ourselves, we do need to be involved in supporting good people, raising money for them, putting up signs for them, whatever. I strongly believe in that, and I think that's where we need to get back to. Now, this is not going to happen, but I would love to see a constitutional amendment, frankly, that would make our legislature nonpartisan. And we would have an open primary in the spring, and then the top two candidates would run against each other in November. And I think if we could remove those labels, I think it would help a lot in getting back to discussing Arkansas issues in our legislature rather than fighting culture wars that really have nothing to do with Arkansas whatsoever.
You know, something kind of related to that is having the notion that some people said we should have a nonpartisan primary so that everybody from whatever party, you know, runs, and then that's a more representative sampling of the population.
Right, but our school boards are nonpartisan. I mean, our city councilors are nonpartisan. I'd love to see our legislature nonpartisan. Yeah. No reason we couldn't do that in our Constitution.
Interesting idea.
Kind of related to this, then, is one concern I really have. It seems to me that, like you say, more and more fringe people are getting involved. We're talking about all these incendiary mm-hmm. topics and getting people riled up. The bad thing about that is it seems to be quite effective.
Yeah.
And so I see why people are doing that. But, you know, everything should be balanced, I think. And so at some point, where do we draw the line when we say, you know, I want to be in power, I want to get elected and do good things, so that means I have to kind of compromise and, feed the masses some of this raw red meat in order to get there. But at some point, it's drawing the entire society down and is making it hard for people to seem reasonable and to give any credence to reasonable ideas. You got any thoughts on that?
Well, I mean, we've just got to get back to electing people who are running for the office for the right reason, and that's to be true public servants. And I tell you, I've reached the point in life I could care less in a small state like Arkansas where we can easily learn about the candidates, where we tend to know a lot of them personally. I could care less anymore whether they have a D or R after their name. I want somebody who's running for the right reasons. They love Arkansas. They want to serve. They want to help improve things. They don't want a career in politics. They don't want to try to build up their name ID. They're doing it for the right reasons. And as voters, I think the onus is on us, not as the office holders. We're guilty for sending those people to office. It's on us as voters to get back to that and try to get out there and support those types of people, regardless of what party label they have.
And I think that's what we're doing and trying to accomplish with Braver Angels.
Amen. I love what you're doing, by the way. Yeah. I absolutely do.
You know, Rex, in terms of the politicians and how they're using all sorts of negative approaches to staying in power, I do hear a lot of them say, well, I've got to be in the government in order to make a difference. You know, so first I have to get elected, so I got to do what I got to do to get elected. But once they're elected, then they're worried about being reelected instead of leading, it seems to me. And it occurs to me, and I've mentioned this before, in our country, we have a tradition of the military being defenders of our freedom, of our rights, and of our Constitution. And we even expect our military to go out and risk life and limb. And they do that willingly because they're standing up for those greater values of our democratic republic. Why can't we have more leaders in the legislatures, state and national, who have the same kind of mindset. Maybe their life's not at risk, but maybe all they're at risk of is losing the next election, but at least they get a chance to stand up and say something important that people need to hear. Be leaders.
We've got to get back to that. And I think maybe this is a time when some tough love is necessary. And by tough love, it's for people who know those who are in office to go to them and say, what is more important to you, your personal integrity or this political position you hold? Because I have seen so many people, I have been disappointed in people I've known for years who I think have given up their personal integrity in order to stay in office. And that's an instance where I think we need to show some tough love to those individuals and ask them that question.
Okay, well, I appreciate that. So another potential factor in what's going on these days, you know, you hear a lot about blaming a lot on the media. Now, I'm one, there's certainly a lot of truth to that. Media has gotten a lot different than it was when you and I were growing up. But and social media especially is a pretty nasty animal in many ways. But I just wonder, you know, you've been in journalism for a long time. You've seen journalists come and go back into the 60s and stuff. So what do you take of all the criticism of the media now? What makes sense? What's warranted? And where are we missing the boat here?
You know, I think we have to do a good job. When I say we, those of us who work in the media, into educating consumers on what real media is. I mean, too many people are taking what are partisan outlets and considering that actual news. We have a lot of duped people out there just because they're not educated news consumers. And you know, let's go back to a solid brand. I'm going to sound like the company man here. But for Arkansas News, there's no more solid brand than the Arkansas Democrat Gazette. The Arkansas Gazette has been around since 1819 in Arkansas Post. And we have a very clear wall between news and opinion. Anything that's opinion is labeled as such. And so you know the difference between news and opinion. It's not mixed at all. I'm on the opinion side of the newspaper. I have no interaction with the news side of the paper. People are always, because I have the senior editor title, wanting to tell me this about a headline, that about a, you know, a story. And I say, I'm sorry, I have nothing to do with it, and I'm allowed no input. All except the editorial page and the voices page, which is our opinion page, the rest of that newspaper, I find out what's in it when I open my iPad every morning, just when you do, because we have that very clear separation. And I think I think we have to get back to educating consumers of where they go for good, solid news. I personally almost never, unless it's a breaking story, but as far as the shout shows, as I call them, I never watch cable news. I don't read partisan websites. I get my news from the Arkansas Democrat Gazette, New York Times, and the Wall Street Journal, to which I also have subscriptions. And those are pretty well my three news sources.
Well, you know, you make a really good point about people learning more about what's good media and journalism and all that, which kind of gets at something I was going to ask you about. You know, we've got more and more problems these days with disinformation and misinformation, people being misguided by various media sources. And one of the suggestions that's been commonly made is to teach people, to educate people, as you're talking about, calling it media literacy or another thing I've heard is talking about having a quality media diet where you get a variety of sources from different viewpoints, but they all need to be quality. And, you know, even if it's opinion, at least have some quality and thoughtfulness to it. So I wonder, given how much disinformation we have now, how many people are out there trying to manipulate to get their side, you know, to come out on top, what thoughts do you have about how we can deal with this inaccurate or manipulative information in the media?
Well, again, we have to point out the facts. I mean, we can't be scared. We've got to, traditional media outlets like the Arkansas Democrat Gazette have to say this is false information, this is propaganda, whatnot, and hope that consumers, frankly, are reading accurate publications that point out what is false and what is disinformation. But yeah, it's a huge problem. I mean, I think people getting their quote unquote news, which often is not true news, mainly from social media this day in time, is certainly the biggest threat to democracy that I've seen in my lifetime. And by that, I lived through part of the Cold War. So it's certainly a bigger threat to American democracy than the old Soviet Union ever was.
Yeah, I'm just thinking about all the things you're talking about. I pulled up a website that I oftentimes use to kind of judge what my media sources are, which is called allsides.com. And my reason for pulling it up is, as you were talking about the Arkansas Democrat Gazette, a couple of months ago, they were actually featured as one of the center sources.
We took great pride in that.
Which was
amazing. We were right in the middle.
Yeah, but then I'm looking at the places where you're getting your news from. So New York Times is center left, and Wall Street Journal, at least the opinion cycle, is center right. Wall Street Journal is right in the middle and center. And so
And I love to read both editorial pages. I try to see both sides of things.
And so, I mean, you really are doing what it is that you're saying we should be doing. But if people don't know what their news outlets are, I think it's interesting for them to go to something like this, allsides.com. Yeah. So I'm going to kind of turn us a little bit to Arkansas politics. And you said that you're into more of the Arkansas things. And I think about, you know, that right now, and I actually agree with you about the need for an active or vibrant two-party system that would be great to have in all states. But there are many strong disagreements between the two major parties these days, and it seems like that in the past, there might have been some broad bipartisan agreement in the past. Think about, for example, on environmental concerns or education. And I'm wondering if you might be able to identify an issue or two that might currently seem like in Arkansas we're divided, yet there might be some possibilities for finding common ground, at least partially reducing some of that partisanship.
When it comes to things like education policy, I just don't see why we should have partisanship there. And that was one thing that greatly concerned me about our legislative session earlier this year. The governor's education reform was basically a national template. Didn't have a lot to do with Arkansas. It was a national template that was designed by right-wing organizations outside the state. We have a very compliant legislature now, so it was pushed through the legislature without a lot of input from Arkansas teachers, Arkansas school administrators. It was an outside template that was rushed. It was half-baked, and I think we're going to see some very serious and negative repercussions from that in the years ahead. So I would hope at some point that the fever would break some, and certainly on issues like education, which is the largest part of the state budget, the most important thing by far that state government does, that we could get back to an Arkansas first approach, and that we do what's right for Arkansas children regardless of what national organizations on the left or the right want. I mean, these national organizations, frankly, they don't care about Arkansas children. They care about raising money, and the way you raise money is to get hot-button issues and scare people. It's that simple.
which is unfortunate because of the way that we have our politicians getting, you know, focused as soon as they get in office on being reelected, and so much outside money comes in to help support their reelection campaigns that they feel like they're beholden at some level to those outside sources. I'm curious. You know, it's easy for me as just an individual citizen just to sit back and say, oh, whatever, those politicians in Little Rock are just going to do whatever they're going to do. I'm curious about what would it take or what suggestions you might have about getting the citizenry more involved in working with our politicians to really solve problems like the education issue.
I think we just have to pound it at every level, on media opinion pages, in civic clubs, whatnot. We have to get back to pounding that message that you have been on the sidelines for too long, and it's allowed fringe characters to get into office. It is hurting our state. It's going to hurt your family. It's going to hurt your business in the years ahead if you don't get involved. And whether it's a school board election, a county court again, a city council, or the legislature, you have just got to get involved, if not as a candidate, as somebody who recruits and supports good candidates, or else the road ahead is not going to be pretty for Arkansas.
Well, that's a good point.
I'm wondering about another possible topic that could be bipartisan. I know that you tend to look a lot around the state at some of the natural areas and things like that. And, of course, we're known as the natural state.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so it seems like that would be an area that might be ripe for bipartisanship efforts. Do you think you see any promise in that?
I've got a column coming called the Arkansas Paradox, and that's the headline that we're putting on it. And the paradox is that we have things happening across the state, whether it's the steel boom in northeast Arkansas or the coming lithium boom down in southwest Arkansas and central Arkansas becoming a major distribution center, in northwest Arkansas, where the boom, to coin a word I used in a column, is getting even boomier. All of these things are coming together to really set the stage for what I think economically could be a new golden era for Arkansas, yet it comes at a time we have our most polarizing governor since Orville Faubus, and we have a largely ineffective legislature, so therein lies the paradox. Now, I am a strong capitalist, so on the one hand, I ought to be happy at this because it shows that business and civic leaders have much more influence than politicians. And again, I think we're hyper-politicized. I think we pay too much attention, frankly, to our politicians. And the fact that we're doing so well economically shows that our business and civic leaders still have much more power, and they're much more influential on our individual lives than our the politicians. But on the other hand, I think, gosh, what if our governor and what if our legislature were actually working to enhance this economic boom and finally make significant increases in the per capita income of Arkansans? How much further we could go if they were actually doing this rather than out there fighting culture wars and trying to divide us as they're doing right now. So, you know, therein lies the paradox. And again, I think we can get together by advancing the Arkansas economy. And you touched on it. One of our great attributes is our outdoor recreational benefits that we have in the state. I mean, we've always publicized our world-class hunting and fishing, which we now have. But thanks to the effort of Tom and Stuart Walton and others, we're now becoming the cycling capital of the country. Hiking, I can even go to things like hang gliding and rock climbing and freshwater scuba diving. I mean, we have all of those things at a world-class level in Arkansas. And economic, in the economic world of the 21st century, it's no longer about attracting plants. You know, in the late 1900s, the 50s, the 60s, the 70s, even the 80s in Arkansas, it was all about bringing that big plant to town that would suddenly bring 500 jobs to your community. Now it's about attracting talented people. People move to where they want to live, and then they either start a business or find a job then. And through these outdoor recreational attributes that we've been blessed with as a state, if we improve and publicize those, then we go a long way toward bringing more and more talented people to Arkansas. And I sure would hate to see that ruined by a dysfunctional political culture. And that's a long way around, but I hope it answers your question.
Yeah,
goes
yeah.
Toward it. Yeah,
it does. And so that's an area that, the natural resources that we have combined with the great economic potential we have coming up and already have, that would be a really prime opportunity for bipartisan focus. Now this may take us in a little different direction, and then we'll get back kind of to finishing up things, but I'm kind of curious, in this last special session that was called, there was a big to-do over the Freedom of Information Act, and I saw that as another potential area where there's bipartisan feelings about that. Any comments on that?
I'm hopeful that maybe we saw a turning point on September 11th, 12th, and 13th. And that was the first 3 days of that special session, when we saw both Republicans and Democrats saying, no, it is wrong to gut our state's Freedom of Information Act, which was the pride of mentioning Winthrop Rockefeller of his administration in the late 60s. That bill was signed in 1967. This is wrong, and we finally saw them stand up to this governor. I mean, they had been so intimidated during the regular session with threats from the governor's office that we're going to run somebody against you and beat you in the primary, or we're going to hold back money from your district. And frankly, I think we saw some legislators grow a spine September 11th through the 13th, and maybe that was a turning point, and maybe we saw the fever breaking a little bit, where we can find issues that we can work on a bipartisan basis, as we did in stopping what was just an awful, awful proposal from the governor's office.
Well, that kind of fits the next question I was going to ask you, which is kind of where you see politics headed. Now, maybe it isn't, but I mean, do you have any other thoughts on where you think Arkansas politics is headed at this point, given where it's been and how things are looking now?
I, again, think we're in for probably long-term still Republican control, but again, the glass half full side of me is hopeful that we can get back to electing real Republicans to office that are fiscal conservatives, that are concerned with advancing Arkansas, and get the fake Republicans, the Trumpist, in other words, out of office. And again, maybe September 11th through the 13th was the start of something.
Okay. So the organization we work with, Braver Angels, works to reduce extreme political polarization, and we're trying to get people to come across from different sides to talk to each other, because when they do, they find out people aren't as bad as those stereotypes that people keep pushing.
Exactly.
Yeah. And so that also then, when you get people together like that, where they treat them as human beings, they have the chance to find some common ground and say, okay, we'll compromise and agree on a few things. And you start to solve problems, which we haven't seen much of lately. So I wonder what your recommendations might be for other people out there listening, or for us or other groups. What can we do to make a difference in our communities and start to bring this political divide to an end, or at least make it in a normal place again?
Number one, stop letting national politics be such a big part of your life. Go out and work in your garden. Find a good novel to read. There's so much more to life than politics. So that's back to number one. Let your neighbors be neighbors. If you're going to talk to them, talk about something other than politics. Talk about how your local high school football team did the Friday night, or how you think the leaves are going to turn. Fun things again. And then second, though, if you get involved, do it on the local level. And back to what I've been preaching these whole last 30 or 40 minutes, let's get back to electing people who care about Arkansas first. And if you're not going to run yourself, at least go out and support people that you know are good people and that will do so at every level of office in the state.
I will say, and I agree with everything you said, it's good to not talk politics all the time. That's almost become our new religion, you know?
Absolutely, absolutely, and it's a bad thing.
Yeah. However, one of the other things we do in Braver Angels is try to teach people ways that they can use effective communication and conflict resolution skills in order to, if you are going to talk politics, and at some point we do have to do that, do so in a way that keeps us from alienating each other and buying into stereotypes and just making things worse. So I think maybe in my mind, I would just add that, you know, if you're going to talk about politics, do it in a good, healthy way.
Amen. Amen.
Yes, I'm curious. We started out the interview today kind of recognizing some of the things that you had done. And one of the things that you've done in the past is you worked with the Mike Huckabee administration. And I'm assuming, but I don't know this, and I'm just curious, was that a different kind of playbook that he was using than what his daughter's using in terms of working with other people?
Oh, very different. 180 degrees different. I mean, if you go back and look at the Mike Huckabee, the things he did, first thing in office he did was support Amendment 75, which was to put a 1/8-cent tax in the Constitution to build up those outdoor recreational attributes we were talking about, money that went to the Game and Fish Commission and our Arkansas state parks. Then in his first session in 97, his biggest issue was Our Kids First, which was expanding health insurance for children across Arkansas. The whole last 4 years were spent responding to the Supreme Court's ruling in the Lakeview case from the Arkansas Supreme Court to make public education better in Arkansas, and that required tax increases. So Mike Huckabee was a moderate, pragmatic governor. I'm very biased since I worked in that administration for almost 10 years, but I think if you go back and look at the record, he was one of our best governors.
I don't remember. What was the color of the legislature at that time? Did we have more bipartisan?
Heavily Democratic. Heavily Democratic. So we had to work with Democrats or we would have never gotten anything done as a Republican governor.
And that shows the power of a healthy two-party system.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so we had a Republican administration, but we worked with Democratic legislators. In fact, Our Kids First, Mike Huckabee went on a road trip with then State Senator Mike Beebe to sell that issue around the state. So you had a Republican and a Democrat traveling the state together. You don't see that now. I wish we did.
Yeah, that's what we need to get back to for sure. All right, well, we're going to end with you just being able to tell us a story, something that maybe was interesting, funny, or otherwise remarkable that you've experienced during your career. What would you like to share?
Well, you know, I think back to Bill Clinton's race for president. I was political editor of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette in 1992 and over all of that, and how we had journalists from all over the world coming here, and when they got tired of writing stories about Bill Clinton and about Hillary Clinton, they began writing stories about Arkansas. And because we're such a unique place, we really are different. We're mostly Southern, but we're a bit Midwestern. We're a bit Southwestern. And I loved trying. It's not easy to explain Arkansas, but I loved trying to explain Arkansas back in those years to these visiting journalists. In fact, I just had a group of people from all over the country that I spoke to earlier this week who were touring the state and tried to explain Arkansas. I enjoy that. So, you know, a lot more than politics. That's what I try to do in my column, write about interesting Arkansas places, write about interesting Arkansas people, and try to explain this beautiful place we call Arkansas. We're an interesting state. I can't think of a better state to write about than the one we're in.
Well, that's encouraging. I know I listened to a Southern Fried podcast that you did, oh gosh, a few weeks ago, where you interviewed somebody from the Arkansas Museum of Discovery, and you all were talking similar about the kinds of wonderful things that even Little Rock has.
Yes, my good friend Kelly Bass, thank you for listening to that. I appreciate it.
Well, this has been a wonderful interview. Is there anything else that you'd like to share with our listeners, Rex?
No, I've got a column coming on Braver Angels, but I just want to say thank you for the work that you do in an area when we are in an era when we are so divided right now. I honestly think that you are one of the most important organizations in our state right now, and may you thrive. I will close with that. May you thrive.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, we appreciate
and
your time.
I would say, and then in terms of thriving, I appreciate your compliments on that. I would tend to agree that we're doing good work. We could stand to do more good work. We have to have more good workers. So any way you can send some good folks to us, we'd appreciate that.
Absolutely. Well. Absolutely.
Right. Thanks again, Rex Nelson. We appreciate you being our guest today and for sharing a little bit of your time. Thanks for coming and talking with us.
Thank you. It's been my pleasure.
We hope you enjoyed today's discussion with Rex Nelson. Be sure to check out those other podcast episodes of On the Other Hand, and you can find those on the podcast page of the Braver Angels Arkansas website. That's at arkansas.braverangels.org, or you can look us up on many popular podcast sites.
And when you visit our website, you can find links to all our episodes. You'll also find a link where you can email us with your program feedback or suggested speakers for our program. That email address is otherhandar@gmail.com. That's otherhandar@gmail.com.
On the Other Hand is sponsored by Braver Angels in Arkansas. Music was composed by Randall Standridge of Jonesboro, Arkansas, and was performed by the University of Northern Colorado Symphonic Band, Dr. Richard Main, conductor. And today we want to especially thank the Central Arkansas Library System's Roberts Library for use of their recording facility for this two-part interview.
From your host, Glenn White,
and April Chatham Carpenter,
let's all do our parts to bring our community closer together.